always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Now, if they're on like a 8-game win streak, then yeah, these comments fall even more by the wayside, but they don't. Because the team is in a tough stretch. Austin Reaves is out. They are kind of playing game to game in survival mode, and they don't need another thing to shoulder. Like, oh man, what do you think of Rich Paul's comments on this? And it hasn't really entered the sphere of the media place yet. But it will if this continues to go on. I just don't understand the need for it. There's a bajillion other sports topics. Football playoffs, I guess, is going on right now. Like, there's a bunch of other stuff that is, you know, you can divulge into. You know, Rich Paul putting on the Rob Pelinka GM hat, like it's one he's never worn.
Well, I mean, they have smart producers. Like, they know that if they know that we're going to talk about this if it's presented that way. You know, they know this. And to that show's credit, they know what's going to traffic and stuff like that. It's just like, this is where I do agree with the whole point of like, not all money is good money. Not all traffic is good traffic. I don't think this puts you or your clients in a good spot. And yeah, I don't know. We do have a super comment here that does address some of this. So really quickly. Stop watching! Ryan Lucas, one, I heard Rich Paul Pod has LA and AR's camp unhappy. Can you confirm? Two, DA's got to go. Three, no way Luca is okay with this. Four, any chance Rob retires at the season's end? All right. So I'll go in order of 4-1. So any chance Rob retires at the season's end? No. I don't see. It's like a 0.0000001% chance that he retires at the season's end. That 0.0000 whatever 1% that I left there is like, if Mark Walter went to him, is like, hey, what if we find a way to do this amicably, you know? And even then, I just don't really see it. Three, yeah, no way Luca is okay with this. He's very, look, I think he's very competitive. And we'll see how he handles this, right? Like, as we get closer to the trade deadline, you know, we've heard plenty from Rich Paul. We haven't heard a ton from Bill Duffy, Luka Doncic's agent, and some of the potential leaks and stuff that you might get from there. We haven't heard, like, you know, source close to Luka says that he is playing some of the best basketball of his life and feels like it might be wasted if the Lakers don't go for it, right? So we'll see what they get from that regard. Two, DA's got to go. Raj, I do want to ask you this about Ayton. I don't think the Lakers, like, I agree with you that the Lakers can't address their starting wing need with one first-round pick in their back pocket. I don't think that's something that they can do. I do think they can replace DeAndre Ayton with one first-round pick in their back pocket. I do think that's a position that you could actually acquire your current and long-term starter with one first-round pick with. If that was the direction that they decided to go in, would you support it?
I would if that's the center you're moving forward with, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing, like, Nick Claxton is probably the name that's most dominant here. That would make some sense. I think he fits. I think it's clear. Again, this was an evaluation period, and I think Ayton has – you know, he's had his ups and downs, but I think Luka really wants a player that has a big catch radius, and Ayton just,
yeah, Jackson was incredible tonight. Like, that's, and for that specific reason, yeah,
that's Jackson's strength, right? He can catch anything, you throw it up there. And I think Luka, it's not like he doesn't like playing with Ayton, but I think he prefers playing with a guy that he just throws it up and he goes and catches it and goes and chases it. So that's what I would kind of lean towards center wise. Now, it doesn't mean your center can't be talented offensively, but a center that's talented offensively that also has a wide catch radius, that's athletic, makes $35 to $40 million a year. That guy's not available. So that's where I think you got to kind of pick. So I would be okay if that's the route they went. Again, I would be surprised if that's where they went. In my opinion, I think they have at least enough at center, they feel right now, to where they want to shore up other needs. like point of attack defense, athleticism on the perimeter, things to make up for where they don't have any talent, really, any two-way talent, excuse me. And so I think that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion here where it's like, use whatever you have to build your, like to get going on building your roster for next season and stuff moving forward. Like, again, this is the whole notion of like, I always get really frustrated when I hear people say, well, you know, they have three picks that they could potentially utilize this summer. One, they only have three picks on draft night. That's the only night that they have three picks at their disposal. As soon as the draft happens, that goes down to one. And so like that, or to two, it drops by one. The other thing is, if you're going to tell us that the Lakers have three draft picks potentially, or as many as three draft picks to work with this summer, you also have to include the bit that they haven't used a first round pick on a role player in how long? That
a first round pick on a role player? Yeah, I mean, they almost did, right? They traded one for Mark Williams before it was rescinded. So that's, I guess, the last one where it was. Yeah. They did trade it. It bounced back.
You want my tinfoil theory on that too?
Oh, another one? We got double tinfoil
on?
No,
I'm good.
Can you stack tinfoil hats?
Yeah. No.
Do they stack?
I have them in different colors, you know. Yeah, oh, different right. brands. Yeah. Yeah.
You got them color-coded.
Yeah. They're like ones like, if it's like a very thin kind of theory, it's the Kirkland right. brand tinfoil. If it's like, if it's like, you know, the bonus theory that I gave earlier, that's like my... You right. know, barbecue grade that like you could throw directly on the grill.
The next one is just a tinfoil costume where it's just like the, you're just all tinfoil. It's like, oh, you know what?
I look like the Silver Surfer. Like it's just, yeah. I'm at the point where it's like, you know, does Ayton have to go? No, I would like to. You know what I want? You know what I want, Raj?
Uh huh.
I want Hayes to start the next game.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I want Hayes. I'm getting reckless, man. I'm reaching that point here in the season where it's like, you know what? Enough messing around. You know, and I think Ayton. Like I thought this is like probably the fourth of the last fifth or so games that, five or so games that Hayes has outplayed Ayton. I don't know if that's relative to expectations or what, but I just think that it's like tonight, I thought it was really clear that Hayes was the better basketball player between those two guys. And I would like to see Hayes as a vertical spacing threat with that starting group and have Ayton be kind of another safety valve, kind of Rui type presence and with the second unit. I think when Austin comes back, you need another high energy role player out there. And that is not DeAndre Ayton. And look like, you know, whether it's Hayes starting or whether it's Ayton being traded or whatever it is, like I'm also like kind of talking myself more and more into Robert Williams as a possibility, just a high energy, crazy athlete type player who steps in and provides a lot of these things that I think the Lakers were kind of hoping Ayton would wake up and provide. But, you know, at this stage of his career, it's pretty clear that Ayton is who he is. So, yeah.
I know people don't put a lot of stock in the preseason. I understand that not a lot of teams are playing hard, right? But I do think Ayton and Austin developed a chemistry in preseason.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That ramped into the regular season. And Ayton misses that. Now, Austin doesn't have the offensive kind of autonomy Luka does, you know, in terms of the step backs and stuff. I feel like Austin looks for Ayton in a way that no one else, LeBron does as well, but LeBron just doesn't run as many ball screens. And so I think Ayton kind of misses that. I'm not totally off the Ayton boat. I think it's very easy to do that. And a season is up and down. And again, he was very helpful to give them the start they did. So they're in this position where they can evaluate stuff. And but is he an athletic center? No, but you knew that going in. And this is why I get frustrated. Like, he's a guy that you have to feed. You knew that 3 years ago. That was true 3 seasons ago. That's true last season. That's true today. And I think they go way too many possessions where he has a switch. Tonight he had a play where he had Russell Westbrook on him. And he was like, okay, like this is my time. Like I've sealed, I've done my job. I did my work early. And I forgot who waved him off, but someone waved him off. And he didn't like pout, but you could tell he was like so excited to get the ball there.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it. And so that's stuff where like, just, you got to feed him. Even if he misses, you're kind of investing in him for the game. I know it's not what you want. That's not like in a perfect world, but that's the type of center you have.
And then as far as one goes, I'm going to be as careful as I can be on this one. So Ryan is asking, I heard that the Rich Paul pod has the LA and Austin Reeves camp unhappy. I don't know if I wouldn't go so far as unhappy. I think both the Lakers and Reeves camps are both kind of rolling their eyes at the pod more than anything. Like, nothing that Rich Paul says is actually going to get Austin Reeves. It's not like, you know, the Lakers were on the fence on Austin. Right. And like Rich Paul was like, you know, you could move him for Jackson Hayes. And the Lakers were like, what? Oh man, dang. Well, if you put it that way, like, I don't think anybody, like, I think the Lakers are pretty aware of what they could get for Reeves if it ever came to that. But I do think it's just this distraction that that affects the Lakers more than any other team in the league, right? Like, no other team has to
Zero.
Think about or answer for anything that any agent says on a podcast, right?
Kuminga's the only one, and that is like
but the Warriors don't care. They're like, they're counting down the days until the 15th anyway, right? Like,
they're like retweeting it. They're like, go ahead, man. Not,
they can't. That would be funny. They retweet the Hawks highlights that Aaron Turner threw out there.
No, like they quote tweet it like at the Kings, like, hey, do you see this?
Exactly. Like that relationship is so burnt, right, and the ashes have been so thoroughly pissed on that nobody cares there what Aaron Turner says or doesn't say in whatever public setting that he can, right? But in this case, like, the Lakers just tweeted out that dumb patch that LeBron put on his jersey for year 23 thing, right? Like, both sides are still trying to make this relationship work to the extent that they can, for the extent that they have to, or for the amount of time that they have to. And I just think, you know, like, I actually think LeBron has handled the season mostly very well. Like, there are some times where I get a little annoyed, right? Like, there was that one situation, I think it was against the Suns, right, where he was talking to the guys on the Suns bench. I think it was Goodwin, ironically. When JJ was trying to get his attention, like, there are some moments where I kind of roll my eyes at her, but I think for the most part, LeBron has handled this season really well. And it just makes this Rich Paul situation all the dumber, because it's like, what are you doing, man? Your client is handling it like a professional. What are you doing out here? You know? And that's where, like, that's where I think, you know, the Lakers and Austin's camp and just everybody in all of these orbits is just kind of looking at Rich Paul like, what do you gain by this? This podcast isn't gonna replace the amount of money that you make by being an agent. This isn't gonna be some huge Netflix show. What's the hope here? What are you hoping for here?
Yeah, I don't even think Rich is going into that with any of those as motives of I'm trying to help my client, or I'm, you know, like, I don't think that's the motives at all. I think he's just talking, and obviously he's sensationalizing some of this, I'm sure. But yeah, it's just unhelpful. And Austin's been great this year, and Austin is a core tenant of this team this year, and the Lakers have made it extremely vitally clear that he's one of the tenants going forward for the future. That is clear throughout the organization. The Lakers tweet out the All-Star stuff. Austin gets put in those just as much as LeBron and Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's the only other Laker between that, right? Between LeBron and Luka that get put in that. So, like, it's very clear that he's one of the points of the team. And just to continually name him in these weird ways of, yeah, let's bring him off the bench as Ginobili, right? now they trade him for Jaren Jackson Jr., a player that is clearly not worth close to his contract, right?
He's the next guy. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be the next guy who gets talked about like Trey Young and gets talked about like John Morant and gets talked about like the rest of these guys who are on max contracts, and their contracts were signed at a time when the best player and the second best player just got max contracts. Like, he's the next guy that's going to be in those conversations and in those trade rumors and stuff like that. Austin is never going to be in those discussions. That's not going to be the deal with him.
Yeah. And look, and like you were saying, trying to make things work. Like, I think the team has been better than the national kind of story around them. And I think because the Lakers obviously are who they are. But again, a team that has the record they are, Houston is falling, right? And there's no, should the Rockets shop Amen Thompson? You know, like, there's no conversations around that. Houston just is having a bad stretch. Now they have their issues that they're going through. But I don't know. It's just these topics have not matched the on-court stuff. Like, if Austin wasn't good this year, then like, I understand.
Oh yeah.
But,
yeah. That agrees.
Right. Like, I understand. Like, okay, then, but Austin's been awesome. And
yeah, like, it's not even, if Austin wasn't awesome, I would understand like a lot of these talking points, right? If he was merely good, if he was merely pretty good, and it was like, you know, what could you turn pretty good into here? You know?
Right. Yeah.
But he's been awesome. Like, he's been top 50, really effing good.
Top 15 or 20 player, right? That was going to be an all-star. In my opinion, it was going to be 13, maybe all-NBA if the numbers stuck at the 28, 29 that he was averaging. Like, that, just, I don't know. It's been really, really strange that that's where they've gone. But
I also think that it's reaching a point here where LeBron might have to speak up and be it, whether publicly or privately, and be like,
let's not, you know, either
privately tell him, hey man, let's stop it with the Austin stuff. Because like it or not, Art Herrera's comment here is how a lot of people feel about it. You really think that was Rich Paul talking? That was LeBron talk, or that was, I think you have this reversed, but that was Rich Paul talking for LeBron. Get real. Like, that's how a lot of people feel about this thing. And like, it's reaching a point here where like a beat reporter should maybe ask LeBron, hey, your agent is out there saying Austin should be benched, trading Austin publicly on multiple occasions. Are you concerned about the impact that might have on your teammate Austin Reeves, on this locker room? Is this how you feel? This is your agent. It's going to be linked back to you. Do you share some of these sentiments? And I know everybody's going to be too afraid to ask him this because access and all that stuff, but it is reaching a point here where it's like, look, man, you don't get to just waltz around this stuff. This is your agent. It's like Harrison and I laughed at the idea that Giannis was saying, well, you know, my agent is just having these conversations with the Bucks front office. It's like, no, man, that your agent is having those conversations with the Bucks front office because chances are you would like for those conversations to take place with the Bucks front office. In this case, that same policy needs to be extended, or that same analysis needs to be extended to this situation too, where it's like, LeBron, how do you feel about this stuff? Is this a sentiment that you share? Because you did once upon a time with Alex Caruso. Is that something that you still continue to share right now with Austin Reeves?
Yeah. My final two things on this is, number one, like, LeBron, to his credit, has been nothing but, you know, supportive of Austin in any public speaking, has completely, you know, spoken about his game in a positive manner and never said anything negative. But number two, the point that, you know, Art Herrera was making, like, do you really think that was Rich Paul talking? The reason he feels that way, and most people feel that way, is because that's what they've told us for the last X amount of years. Rich Paul has been not sold, but he has been put as way more than just an agent, right? Like, that is the conversation around Clutch, is that it's more than an agency, that, you know, it's Rich Paul, Maverick Carter, right? These are guys who aren't just LeBron's agent. They are his closest confidants. They are in every business endeavor. They're on the shop. Rich Paul is there with Maverick. So this is like, you don't get to choose when you are now tied with someone when you've been for that long. And even if it's unfair to LeBron that this is kind of how this goes. So again, I hope Rich Paul understands that. I don't think this is stopping anytime soon. Rich Paul doesn't seem like a person that is going to be impacted by the outside noise. I don't expect LeBron to comment on it publicly or tell Rich Paul that in any way, because I don't see him doing that. But yeah, it's definitely annoying, and the losses, like winning cures all in these type of stuff, but losing brings everything to the surface, and this will definitely come to the surface as well if the Lakers, you know, continue to lose.
A funny example of that, Raj, was remember when JJ Redick like huffed and puffed and said like they're gonna have awkward conversations, mm-hmm. and the next, you know, video session is gonna be this and it's gonna be that, and then kind of right. walked that sentiment back, and then DeAndre Ayton was like, wait, you guys believed him? And then like it was so funny, it was like a couple days later you got the first report of like DeAndre Ayton is not seen as the Lakers center of the future. It's like, you can make those jokes when you're on a 15 game winning streak. You can make right. those jokes, you know, when things are going really, really well. But like for you to make that joke at a time where you've lost like 4 of 5 and your coach is talking about uncomfortable conversations, and you come out and be like, "Nah, come on, he's full of shit. We know this." Like, I don't think it was necessarily a coincidence that the Lakers like, "Oh, okay. All right." Not having that moving forward. And I kind of feel like that's how everybody feels about this noise too. It's just like, you can do this stuff. You can, Rich Paul could host a pod. If the Lakers were the 70 or the 95 Bulls, the 96 Bulls or whatever, or the KD Warriors, right? Like, you know, you could have a podcast and you could say whatever you want on that podcast, as long as the Lakers continue to win by a lot and win championships. But the moment right. that you, the moment that that podcast crosses a line at a time when the Lakers have lost 3 in a row, that's when people in that front office start looking around and being like, "Hey, bud,
yeah,
who does this serve here? It's definitely right. not us."
Yeah, again, I think Rich Paul's in a different space, because it's clear, and this has been public, that like he has worked with the Lakers front office on many occasions. They have had
he's sad because they no longer work with him on it.
Sure, like, sure, but this separation to now publicly, you know, now make your comments in a way where you're kind of separating yourself at such a place where now you believe like, yeah, my comments don't mean anything because I'm not in the building or whatever. He is in the building, but like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's annoying to have as a story every single day, but as the Lakers lose and Austin continues to sit out and, you know, can't defend himself with his play, this is what we're going to continue to get, because it's going to continue numbers.
I think we're nearing the time when we should start getting some updates on Austin.
We should. But you're right. The producers of that show are going like, oh, like what other Austin trades do you have, right? You can get, if you're looking at Jaren Jackson Jr., if that's the bar of it, if that's a barrier of entry of an Austin trade, what else you got, right? And so,
Rich Paul should put Austin in a trade for like Con Knipple and just really break the internet. God.
Oh my god. oh, I forgot. He also like compared Austin to Norm Powell this year, like just all kinds of, I don't know, stuff that is just out of bounds in terms of like where Austin is as a player to like his comparisons. It just, I don't know, feels off.
Yep. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I will be back right back here in the lounge tomorrow night after the Lakers play the Atlanta Hawks. Raj will be in the building, so he will not be here on that episode. And then Harrison and I have already worked it out, so he will be on the show on Wednesday. The Lakers then have another set, I believe, of back-to-backs, right? Like they're really busy. So they play. Yeah. So they have, no, they don't. They have a day off. So they play Thursday. And that's a home game against Con Knipple's Charlotte Hornets. But yeah, until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Sapalu. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button. And until the next time you guys hear from us, have a good one. And Rich, like just any other, like Where are the hypothetical trades with like other players, other teams? Let's try that out. Hop on the trade machine and see if you can fix like the Houston Rockets who are currently broken.
Yeah. Or just put the trade machine away. Like there's a month left. Like let's just stash it in a box. Bring it out. You know, bring it out a little bit.
Until February 6th.
Yeah.
Like, just let it go.
In the room. You have a big house, I'm sure. Just like pick one of the rooms.
And he's like, Austin should be bought out.